there are now 40 confirmed swine influenza cases in the United States, though none have been fatal, unlike Mexico, where more than 100 people may have died from it. Over the weekend and into this morning, we've been seeing pictures of Mexicans wearing protective masks to prevent getting swine flu. These are images that can dominate coverage of the outbreak and possibly spread fear. For a look at how the swine flu is being covered, we're joined live on the KCBS Newsline by Andrew Holtz. He's a former CNN medical correspondent, now with the Association of Healthcare Journalists. Andrew, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good to be here.
It is a fine line one has to walk, is it not, about conveying information without being overblown and spreading fear?
Exactly. You do have this balance. You don't want to be paternalistic and try to protect people. This is a news event. There are things that people need to know. On the other hand, you don't want to make them panic, because that's not useful either.
So how do journalists, editors, producers make those decisions? I'm thinking of something as simple as seeing a CNN correspondent this morning doing a stand-up with the mask hanging under his chin. Now, he didn't need a mask on his face at the time he was doing the stand-up. Why even have it in the shot?
Well, with television, of course, as I know from many years of doing it, you always want to have visual cues, the props that make it interesting. It'd be hard to resist having the mask hanging around your face. At least he wasn't wearing it, which would have been an overreaction, certainly. If I were in Mexico City, I would certainly consider those things and check with the authorities about where and when it's appropriate to wear a mask and what kind of mask. You do have to be careful, particularly with images. They are so powerful, and they connect in an emotional way. I remember back during the SARS outbreaks when people were very afraid, and you saw pictures from Hong Kong of people wearing masks, and then people here started avoiding Chinese food, which was clearly an overreaction. We don't want to have that kind of thing. But on the other hand, a pandemic and flu is a lot like earthquakes. If you have a small one every now and then, it's a news event. It reminds you to be prepared that one day there is going to be a big one. At this point, we don't know exactly where on the scale this flu outbreak fits.
Andrew, during your work with CNN or with your work now through the Association of Healthcare Journalists, have you ever encountered a health story where somebody either asked you or you felt like it was necessary to be very, very careful with the language you used and avoid certain words or terms?
Actually, I think every story is like that. There are some that are more emotionally charged than others. I think in this case, you do have to be very careful because there is the concern about widespread panic or overreactions in the public because people are paying attention. I've been looking at Twitter, and there are new messages every second or multiple messages a second, and some of them show that people are frightened. So you have to be careful. But in every health story, you do have to be careful. That's one reason we founded the Association of Healthcare Journalists, because every time you do a story about a life and death issue, people tend to overreact. You do a story about an animal research study, and people will call you up saying, I want that cure. My aunt is dying. I need it now. These are emotional topics, and this flu outbreak is another example of why, when you're doing health stories, you need to be very careful and precise.
What do you think is the basic level of knowledge, education, training, sensitivity of those who are covering health these days? Because where it comes down to, obviously, is the ability to digest a ton of information and then nuance it properly.
I'm both optimistic and discouraged at the same time. I think there is a lot of progress. The Association of Healthcare Journalists is a little over 10 years old, and we have over 1,000 members in the U.S. and other countries. That shows commitment and dedication on the part of journalists who want to learn more and want to do a better job. On the other hand, the news industry is under great economic stress, as a lot of industries are, and we're losing experienced members. So there's a mix. There are people out there who've just been thrown into this, who have no real background and have to learn it on the fly, and there are a lot of very experienced journalists out there. And I hope the folks who are new to the beat will look to their more experienced colleagues for cues on how to work our way through this story like all the others.
Andrew, thanks for your time this morning.